He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday $5,000 Gold Plus edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, who knows a thing or two about those precious metals. They are smoking again today. The market is off to a pretty good start despite some chilly weather across the land, this fine land of ours. The Dow is up 168, 49,267, not too far from 50,000. The NASDAQ is up 101 right now. We're off to a very good start here at Gunderson Capital. The NASDAQ is hitting 23,603. The S&P 500 is closing in on 7,000. It's at 6,946, up 31 points. That's a half a percent. Russell 2000, up a half a percent. Big news, gold above 5,000 for the first time in its history. It's at 5,066. And how about silver? Wow, it's up another 8% today, 109.50 per ounce, 109.50. And then there's Bitcoin, down 400. It can't get out of its own shadow these days. And last but not least, oil is down a little bit, and an exciting week of earnings coming up. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. This is my 26th year behind the mic and 26th year occupying the trading desk here at Gunderson Capital Management. And what a year it's been so far. Not without a lot of
26 days
drama, as usual. Barry, never a dull moment, I say. And we had a little more drama over the weekend, didn't we? We had Super Bowl contenders finalized. We had more havoc up there in Minneapolis. We've got an armada headed towards Iran. We've got gold topping 5,000. And we got a full week of earnings lined up for you here this week.
In a Fed meeting, don't forget.
And a Fed meeting, don't forget that. And then there's durable goods orders. Like, you know, that's just boring now stuff with all of this other stuff going on. Oh, it's a fun business to be in. What can I say? Okay, well, we'll begin where we left off on Friday. Remember Friday? It seems like an eon ago with all the news. It was kind of a dull day on Friday. The Dow was down. There was a big drop. Small cap sold off a lot on Friday. Gold and silver, there's just no stopping them right now. And, it, you know, like I say, it's been the ultimate hedge, I guess, against the Trump drama, the Trump tariffs. And in the meantime, Bitcoin is just totally getting left behind in all of this rally mode stuff that is taking place in the markets. It's really crazy. Just trying to keep up with all the news. Last week, the drama really came from Greenland, of all places, as that ebbed and flowed and finished on a high note. And we have a big winner in the market, two big winners in the market here this morning. U.S. Rare Earth, which I've talked about many times, that's the mound in Texas. You drive by and you see this big bump in the ground out there in Texas. You go, what the heck is that? It's a big deposit of rare earth, hopefully, for U.S. rare earth, and the U.S. government taking a 10% stake, I think, in the company.
Stake. Yeah, 10%, yep.
And I'm going to say our other holding, we own U.S. rare earth in the emerging growth portfolio. We only own 10 stocks in that portfolio right now because of the expensive market, and we cashed in a lot of profits late last year. MP Materials, I'm going to say, is the number one rare earth stock in America today, and it's had investment by the U.S. government, by Apple, and by the big Australian firm, big conglomerate out of Australia. I would say U.S. rare earth might be number two right now in the U.S. as far as promise and potential go. And I think that's backed up by the U.S. government investing in the company. And then right behind that, the third one we own is the one in Greenland that has ties to Greenland, but it also has a lot of ties to Australia, which is Critical Materials, CRML. So that's been a very interesting group to invest in. We're going to get to an earnings update. We've had 13% of the S&P 500 report so far, but 103
lots
companies
of them this
week. Will report from the S&P. That's 20% of the S&P will report today. I saw an interesting alert on Friday about a big upheaval coming and a crisis coming in the private credit markets, Barry.
I read that.
Who are the guys that have been warning you about private credit to stay away from it with the 10-foot, wouldn't get near it with the 10-foot pole? You know, that could be turn into a big story. I mean, it could turn into a 2008-2009 event, which that was all about the mortgage markets and lending to people, you know, subprime. And that's what private credit is basically doing, is lending this. And the who's lending the money? Investors like you, right, that are being, you're being sold this stuff through the big brokerages on Wall Street, and it's not looking good right now in those markets. We're going to keep our eye on that because that could be a huge credit event that it could pact a lot of things. What do we have on our worry?
Second week in a row, I've read, you know, kind of a similar article in terms of, some of the potential issues on the horizon there. So.
Now, during most of last year, there was hardly a day that went by that me, as an owner of a registered investment advisory firm, did not receive an email from one of these private credit vendors trying to introduce themselves to me so that I could put my clients' money into their crappy private credit. I wrote back to all of them. This is not good, you guys. I have no interest. And this is and now guess what? I'm not getting any emails at all. Not because they know who I am, but it's just because the demand obviously is drying up. And the real question is, who's going to be left holding the bag here?
Yeah, and it's interesting because there's so many different segments of private credit, and it's these there's certain segments of that space that are just kind of the Wild West.
Yeah, exactly. I do not see Jerome Powell coming through with a rate cut this week. No, I don't think so. Maybe when he's gone, there will be a rate cut, but right now it will be over his investigated body, you know, investigations.
I can't think of a duller, meeting. It was almost missed that it was even this week. I saw it, you know, a little bit right before the show, and I'm like, oh, yeah, the calendar. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be in January, and this will be the last
week. This is the week.
Right. So, yeah, it's going to be, I mean, we'll see. You never know. But I think my guess is it's going to be a bit of a snooze fest. So.
Now, you know, I'm a stock market junkie when I see the New England Patriot game versus the Denver Broncos, and that's all I could think about was natural gas prices. And they topped $6 for the first time since 2022. Power plant outages. I saw Tennessee had the most.
Oh, they got trees. Like, they've got exploding trees. So there you've got a lot of.
Is that what's going on there? You know Tennessee better than I do.
Well,
it's
they've
the
got these
ice,
Bradford
right?
pears. So they line these streets with the Bradford pears a lot over there. And so they're notoriously known for, I always call it a tree falling out of a tree. Because those limbs get too big and they've got to cut them back or they just fall. Well, you throw an inch and a half of ice on top of these things, and everything's falling. So
if you're in Tennessee walking along the sidewalk there, walking the dog, watch out for falling limbs.
Yeah.
And $6 natural gas prices is, it's kind of behind this storm is the cold front. We're going to have like 22 degrees. I got to put the heaters on my orange trees again this week. I had a nice crop of mandarin oranges that I picked right before the last freeze. Been enjoying them. but I want to keep those trees alive. So anyways, do your best not to slip on the ice and crack your head wide open, especially in Minnesota. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. And turmoil in Minnesota, you know, now that you've got another event up there, you've got the CEO of Target, the CEO of United Health Care calling for a de-escalation. In the meantime, they're investigating the governor and the mayor and everybody else with the fraud that's going on, that went on up there in the Somalian community. So that's not a good scene up there. Crude oil bouncing as Trump says an armada is headed for Iran. Well, let's not forget we've got Iran in our... That still hasn't been settled, and I think, as far as I know, 5,000 people have been, dissidents have been killed so far. No wonder gold's topping $5,000 an ounce today. We'll be right back.
I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done.
Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we're getting some pretty good response down in Houston, which they got slammed too down in that neck of the woods. But it should be cleared out by February the 25th and 26th for our two-day visit, whirlwind tour of Houston at the Westin Galleria. On Wednesday, February 25th, and Thursday, February the 26th, 2 days of appointments, one-hour appointments, time slots going fast. To reserve a time slot to meet with us, including myself, at the Houston Galleria, call Edie at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Tell her what time works for you, and she's a master at just putting these things together for us. They just run like clockwork. And, of course, that Monday, February 23rd, I'll also – oh, and Wednesday night I'll be teaching a workshop in Houston, Wednesday the 25th at that Houston Galleria at 7 p.m. And you also got to call her to get in on that at 855-611-BEST. And that Monday, the 23rd, I'll be in Phoenix area at Sun City West speaking to an investment group, and they have told me that I could invite people from my radio audience to come to that. That's at 6:30 p.m.
That's a good group, too.
A lot of baseball in the air, the crack of the bat and the smell of fresh-cut grass. There's nothing better than that on those Arizona days and nights. Oh, man, I can't wait for that. So that's going to be a busy week in February. And to reserve a spot to the Arizona workshop, call Edie also at 855-611-BEST. Or you can go to our website at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Okay. Let's see. Let's begin with earnings. All right. Right now, we have. I want to go through where we're at so far during this earnings season, and then what's coming up, what to look forward to this week. So far, 13% of the S&P 500 companies have reported actual results. 75% have reported a positive EPS surprise, which is about average. Believe it or not, that happens every quarter. And I'm just amazed at how the analysts, can't catch on and be a little bit higher with the rest of us and not allow these companies to come in and exceed every time. But this has been going on for years now.
The earnings game, right?
Yes, and it's not going to change anytime soon. So we're now expecting 8.3% growth versus this same quarter last year, which was a good quarter. And the quarter before this was a record quarter for earnings in the S&P 500. And I suspect that by the end of this quarter, this 8.2% is going to go higher. I mean, because 75% of the companies beat earnings. That was okay. So we're expecting $70.30 for this quarter. The all-time record is $70.96, which I suspect we may hit. And we're trading at 22.2 times forward earnings. We're up a little bit today, so maybe we're at 22.3. That's not cheap. 30's been the top here recently. Yeah, 30. What's the top been? 22.
Oh, yeah, 23
has been the top.
That 23,
recently.
Yeah. And then on the NASDAQ is where you're thinking.
That's up 30. In the 30s.
Yeah.
Okay, and who's going to report this week? That's always fun to brace yourself, get ready. There may be some of your companies that will be reporting earnings this week. I see Tesla. Let's just go through it day by day, okay? Monday. I see Baker Hughes, which is already reported. That's one of the big three oil service stocks, and I expect them to have a good year in 2026. We haven't had a good year for the oil stocks in a long time, but with the events in Venezuela and Iran, I think we may see some action in the oil service stocks. The problem with the big oil producers is we still have a tepid price on oil. We still have a lot of supply out there in the markets. Boeing's going to report tomorrow. General Motors is going to report. Raytheon, which is probably the best defense stock. United Healthcare, which certainly has had plenty of controversy recently, and now they're even got some more as they're urging Trump to de-escalate. Of course, United Healthcare is headquartered in Minneapolis. UPS will report tomorrow. Union Pacific, one of the remaining railroads, and they're trying to merge with CSX that they're
CSX,
trying to
I think. Yeah,
merge
yeah.
with? Then you're going to have a transcontinental railroad. They're kind of against that in the U.S. government. UPS will report tomorrow. Kimberly-Clark. So nothing too important tomorrow, but Wednesday, big ones. Get ready for Wednesday. Microsoft, Meta, and Tesla.
And the Fed decision, which will be
and the Fed decision, which will probably be a non-decision, and somehow they'll get us a dig or two in at the current administration. Also reporting some very soggy stocks, AT&T, IBM, Starbucks, ASM Lithography and Lam Research are reporting on Wednesday. Those are important ones. ServiceNow, Corning. So it could be a fun week. Another railroad, Canadian Pacific, Kansas City. Though that was a merger not long ago. Canadian Pacific and KSU, Kansas City Southern. And GE Vernova, a very important nuclear stock, will report on Wednesday. Then on Thursday, just a little company named Apple is going to report. They're actually expecting a pretty good quarter. But I have to tell you, I look at Apple stock because it's such a bellwether. I look at it every day. It has been weak, very weak. Visa. Philip Morris will report. MasterCard, this is on Thursday. Valero Energy, Royal Caribbean. Maybe that's the thing to do until the ice thaws. Go on a cruise really? Down in the Caribbean or something like that. Then on Friday,
I saw
Chevron.
Florida. Do you see where Florida was in the 70s?
Yeah,
I think,
Miami was 78 on Saturday while I was watching the New England game. I guess that was on Sunday. Oh, man, that looked cold on that field.
And it just got colder as that game went on.
Oh,
the snow.
My goodness. Man. Can you imagine sitting through that and watching that in the stands? Okay, and then Verizon will report SoFi, that's where the Rams play. The Rams are bounced out of it all. Durable goods orders, there's an exciting number. I can't wait for those durable goods orders every month. They came in better than expected. Okay, and guess who they're probing now? The European Commission is probing
X.
Elon Musk. They don't really like him. Into X over his Grok AI deepfake images. Here comes another seven-digit fine, I'm sure. When we come back, we'll talk about U.S. Rare Earth and CoreWeave. All right? This is the Best Docs Now show.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, you know, I run 5 portfolios, and the most aggressive one is the emerging growth portfolio, which we started back on April of 2019. And I started these portfolios for my Seeking Alpha subscribers, but they're the same portfolios that I actually use here at Gunderson Capital Management, and we put our clients into. And the most aggressive one is the emerging growth portfolio. It's done very well since we started it, and it had a good year last year. And right now it's a little underinvested because it's a little bit difficult. That is kind of the that's the most aggressive area of the market. But we do have a big winner there today. USA Rare Earth is up 8.6%. There's some selling going on to this big rally on this news, but it's still, you know, breaking out, and it's up 8.6%. And as I was going through the news feed this morning, a lot's happened since I last visited the news feed in the market last Friday, and over the weekend a little bit for the newsletter. USA Rare Earth, USAR, was up. It was up 16% in the pre-market. It's now up about 9%. It entered into a non-binding letter of intent with the U.S. Department of Commerce. I think that's the Gelutnik, I believe, is our Commerce Secretary. And a collaboration with the U.S. Department of Energy. Okay, so like we've talked about this before, Trump is taking a different approach from previous administrations. Instead of guaranteed loans and, giving them grants from the government, he's wanting something in return, and that's some ownership in the company. He's done that with Intel. He's done that with MP Materials. And I think they did it with a couple of the nuclear stocks, too. I'm sure there's going to be more coming. So U.S. is, of course, now this does dilute the shares, right? But USA Rare Earth's heavy critical minerals project is essential to restoring U.S. critical mineral independence, says U.S. Secretary of Commerce Howard Lutnick, who's the former CEO of Cantor Fitzgerald. This investment ensures our supply chains are resilient and no longer reliant on foreign nations. And, of course, this is one of the top priorities of the current administration. Obviously, first it was COVID that exposed a lot of problems in our supply chain, especially in the drug industry. And of course, this rare earth thing is a critical, critical need for not only the artificial intelligence, electric vehicles, military, all kinds of uses there. And China dominating the markets, and China using it as a real leverage tool against us. There's a massive push on, and we've brought to your attention many of the rare earth players, and they are on the speculative side. I don't know. Let's see. Does USA Rare Earth have any sales currently? No. They don't have any sales at all. Nothing. They got to find something in the ground. They're headquartered in Stillwater, Oklahoma, but They have, you know, a big exposure to that Texas Mound area, which could be very, very important. It's pretty much on the Mexican border, pretty close to the Mexican border. And they look to be one of the most promising rare earth stocks out there. And that's, you know, the government taking a stake. And they did that with MP Materials also probably a year ago. MP is down 8.6. These things are volatile. I just want to warn you.
They move. Yeah, they're those things, they move quickly. And like you said, when you've got a... when some of this stuff, I mean, it's long duration where you're, you know, you've got to get the stuff out of the ground and have, you know, no revenue at the moment, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's a whole different, that's the epitome of a, you know, long duration, play.
Yes. And MP is kind of, a little bit on the safer side. It's all relative because they have big lithium deposits that they're mining. And they have $250 million in sales.
And they've got a contract, with, I think it's either with GM or Ford in terms of delivering.
Yeah, that's it. It was an auto company that invested, and Apple invested in MP and the U.S. government, and they have 60 cents in earnings expected this year, which would be their first. Well, no, they've had profits before, but they do have sales and they do have earnings. Okay, then the other big one on the move today, which we also own, not a rare earth stock, but we do own CoreWeave. We got back into it. We made a lot of money in CoreWeave last year when it went public.
Yeah, a lot of money fast.
All of a sudden, it exploded to the upside, and I said, you know what? I'm going to take the money and run. I sold it at 158 for a huge profit in about a month, 6 weeks, something like that. And then it got cut in half after we sold it, and it's just kind of been in decline, and it kind of finally based in the 65 area. They still have explosive sales growth. Now, the hope is when you have explosive sales growth, I mean, we're talking the last four quarters, 544% growth in sales, 420, 207, 134. You hope that eventually translates to earnings, which they don't have yet. They're expected to lose 23 cents per share this year, but the sales are booming. And it must be a fairly important cog in the wheel of AI. And I'll tell you why I say that, because you've got NVIDIA today announcing a $2 billion investment in CoreWeave, which will help build over 5 gigawatts of AI factories. So
it always reminds me of Back to the Future when you say
yes. Gigawatt. Every time I think of the professor.
Yes.
So anyways, this is part of NVIDIA's new Vera Rubin computing platform, which also includes Nebius, NBIS, Supermicro, SMCI, and CoreWeave. So there's no slowdown in this AI, and especially in this these data centers. And, of course, it continues to lift the memory chip makers. And I see an article out by Jefferies saying that the boom has shifted away from Broadcom and NVIDIA into the memory makers for now. And, of course, that's Micron, and that's the big short squeeze taking place in SanDisk. And also SK Hynix, which is South Korea, but it's not really investable. I'm going to look into that. It has a funny symbol. And I don't know if it trades on the pink sheets or what. And then, of course, there's Samsung also. Okay, another thing I'm seeing a boom in, these big tech stocks, they're huge platforms. Alphabet, Google, how many irons in the fire do they have between their AI, between their chips, between their search? I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. Now they're acquiring a 3D image generator, And I've seen a lot of progress made. You know, 3D printing has been a slow go. It has not been a good investment, investing in 3D printers companies, because it's really more of a commodity than anything. But now they're taking where you can take a photograph. Then from the photograph, you can create a 3D image. And from the 3D image, you can create a 3D printer, all of the different lines and instructions, which are incredible. There's millions of instructions of how to run the 3D printer. And I've looked into and sampled a couple of them. I took a picture of a cab, of a diesel truck, and put it onto a software. I'm trying to think of the name. It's owned by owned by Autodesk, Tinkercad. Tinkercad then takes the photograph and converts it to a 3D picture. The 3D picture is then fed into another program that makes it a 3D printable capable image. So we have made tremendous, tremendous progress in this area. How do you get exposure to it? Well, Google buying one of the leaders. Of course, these companies have the money, the bucks to do it. And just another avenue for Google. We'll be right back. You got to go. The final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. I think after we get back from Houston, we're probably looking at Sarasota after that, Barry. We always love going to Sarasota. Maybe like the late March, early April, okay, before the snowbirds head back. When things thaws out up in Jersey, in Buffalo. You saw how things were in New England. You know why they're in Sarasota right now and not New England. So that's probably, but obviously our next trip, February 25th, 26th, Houston on the docket at the Westin Galleria, 855-611-BEST to reserve a spot to the workshop or an appointment with us. And then on that Monday of that week, Monday the 23rd at the, in Phoenix, Sun City West, I think it's a Dell Webb. It's a big retirement center there in Sun City West, and they have this really nice auditorium. It's a great place to teach a workshop. That's at 6:30 p.m. on February the 23rd. You can go to our website at GundersonCapital.com or call Edie at 855-611-BEST. Okay, we have some earnings here this morning. We've got an IPO coming up on a data center stock. Forgent Power Solutions targets a $1.6 billion IPO. They're headquartered in Dayton, Minnesota. We'll try to get to Minnesota a little bit later this year in the summertime. I like going to Minnesota and seeing the Mall of America. That's always a good time. Nomura boosts its price target on Alibaba, which has had some signs of life recently. China can be challenging, however, to invest in. But it looks like they're going to spin off their chip division, which is called T-Head, which is a NVIDIA wannabe. And I would just predict that at some point in time, China will have a chip close to maybe NVIDIA's H200 or H200 or to, I don't know if they'll get it as high as the Blackwell or the
Rubin. Definitely trying, right? I mean, that's all.
Yeah, they're definitely going to eventually get there probably. AppLovin is in focus. Needham upgrades on the back of bullish data. AppLovin was one of the best stocks we ever found. It's now in the S&P 500. It's been a little soggy lately, APP, but maybe with this upgrade by Needham, that will breathe some life into it. Now, the earnings today. I want to look at Baker Hughes because if you're going to pick the big three, oil and gas machinery and equipment, the services, the picks and shovels. I mean, Baker Hughes does not sell oil, like Chevron and Exxon and BP, etc. No, they're in the machinery and equipment end of the business. And, you know, I think that's also going to be good in rare earth. I think that bodes well for Caterpillar in the rare earth area. And Cat has been one of the great picks and shovel stocks of all time. Baker Hughes is breaking out to a new high today. And I've been kind of predicting that. And in the newsletter over the weekend, I said, number one sector in the market is still the semiconductor sector. There's no denying that, especially the memory stocks. And maybe they're due to cool off, but they're still the number one sector. And the one that is rising the most and really coming out of a long sideways trend with absolutely no activity at all, the oil and gas, machinery, equipment, services sector. That's probably, at this point in time, the second best sector in the market. And Baker Hughes is not disappointing today. BKR, which I think is headquartered in Houston. Yes. Speaking of Houston, maybe while we're there, we'll visit Baker Hughes, Barry, a tour of the plant, and get a look at some of the equipment they got to get that oil out of the ground. I know they build a lot of platforms, wellbore products, etc. BHI, been around a long time, $55 billion company. And BKR right now is up 3.6% to $55, and it's breaking out to a new all-time high. I saw news over the weekend, maybe it was on Friday, SLB, the old formerly known as Schlumberger, announcing that they're going to be up and running in Venezuela. They're also in Houston. Barry, we're going to the right place. I mean, we were in
It sounds like it. We were in Silicon Valley.
We were in Silicon Valley. Yeah. Maybe just invest in the cities we're going to, you know, they months had a big, in advance.
Yeah, I mean, we're in Silicon Valley. Remember they had a big NVIDIA announcement while we were there? It was quite
they invested in Intel, I think, while we were there. And, of course, SLB in Houston. And then the third one is Halliburton, which I'm going to say is also a Houston company. Halliburton, headquartered in Houston. The big three are all right there in Houston. No wonder we're going to Houston. And Halliburton, too, has been breaking out to new all-time highs. All-time highs? Let's see. No, not all-time highs. 52-week highs. You know, they've had stagnant growth for a long time. And oversupply of oil, which we still have that. Oil prices are depressed. But these stocks aren't as much, you know, going in lockstep with oil prices as the producers are, the Chevrons and the Mobils of the world. They're more in the activity taking place in the oil fields across the world. And I just think that that's a better place to be right now if you want to invest in the oil and what's going on around the world. And, of course, obviously you've got an administration. I saw Al Gore speaking. I saw clips of Al Gore. He was at Davos calling it, you know, a travesty that we're using the old-fashioned approach of dirty fossil fuels. And yet the current administration, obviously, is pretty much pro until, you know, nuclear comes online. Wind and solar is just not going to power these data centers. That's a big, big problem. There's a big gap that needs to be filled in, and right now that gap, natural gas, is the obvious gap, filler of that gap. Okay, well, we are out of time today. We had a record number of people get the newsletter over the weekend. We have a record number of people that are using the live trading service, the do-it-yourselfers, to get a four-week trial. Go to GundersonCapital.com to set up an appointment with us online, in person, of course, in Houston, or online or via Zoom, telephone, however you like to conduct business. Set up an appointment with us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, and don't slip on the ice, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.